January 9th, 2017. You were looking live at Tampa, Florida. This is episode 627 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. I'm delighted to be here in Tampa. I mentioned on my personal site that I used to spend many Marches in Tampa, Florida, covering Yankee spring training for New York Magazine. I'm in a nicer area of Tampa now. That is right off the Dale Mabry Highway, where I joked this week that it is the only place in America where I've ever seen that, like, there's a Jiffy Lube and a Wendy's and a hardcore all-new strip club and a Sizzler and a FedEx and a hardcore strip club all nude. So this is a better part of Tampa. This is a more enjoyable part of Tampa, a less terrifying part of Tampa. And we are here for the college football championship game tonight, or whenever you're listening to this. If you're listening to it after the game, you should not listen to it, because we're all going to sound stupid because we predicted everything wrong that happened. Because I'm here with Matt Brown. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Will. Thanks for having me.
Of course, one of my podcasts we do in person every once in a while. I always get a little nervous because I'm used to doing podcasts over the phone, so I always never know how much eye contact to make with the guest. So forgive me. I've been staring at his navel for the past 45 seconds. I'm sure it's probably making him a little bit awkward. So we're going to preview the game. I'm excited to have you here. We're here and ready to go. I'm curious, what have you this is your third one, right?
I've been every playoff championship.
Yeah. Right. So last year we were in this fancy resort place in Arizona where, like, apparently Reagan stayed.
That was like the best resort, but this is the best setup.
Yeah, this is a nice little spot. A nice little spot. And everyone seems to be having fun. You went to Media Day. I'm terrified of Media Day.
Justifiably.
But to me, we'll get into the details of the game itself in a bit. To me, I'm curious, has anything beaten the overall storyline? We'll talk about, like, the rematch and so on. To me, the craziest part of this game remains the total weirdness with Sarkisian and with Kiffin. Like, that's still, it's still bizarre. Dan Wolkin wrote a really good piece for it, and you've written about it as well, about that, just the inherent strangeness of Saban, a guy that wants to control everything at all times and doesn't like any sort of chaos and is a total freak about this stuff, and then just does this crazy move. Like, they must have been murdering each other, right? We'll probably never know because it's Saban, but there must have been something amazing because it's so out of the ordinary and insane for him to make a move.
Yeah,
like that.
There's no precedent for this. I mean, it's right. The middle of the college football playoff and Alabama is switching play callers. It's like...
And for a guy that hasn't called a play, like...
Right, he hasn't been an assistant coach in 2008.
He hasn't even been on the sideline this year, right? Right.
No, yeah. He's an offensive analyst, which means he hasn't been able to really coach players. He's like a consultant, really. He watches film and helps the coaches prepare. And that's basically what his job was. Like, the players today, we're talking Jalen Hurts, the Alabama quarterback, like, hadn't really met Sark for a few weeks. Like, he saw him around the building. He didn't know who he really was. And now, between the semifinal and the national championship game, suddenly Sark is the one calling plays, and he's going to be on the sideline, not in the box. So he's going to be the one getting yelled at by Saban on the sideline this week. And... You know, he's dealing with a true freshman quarterback, and I've written before, no team has won a national championship with a true freshman quarterback since 1985, Jamel Holloway at Oklahoma. Right. So you're dealing with a true freshman quarterback who's coming off a pretty shaky game as a passer, threw for 50-whatever yards against Washington. You're dealing with a new offense coordinator who hasn't called plays in a long time and who hasn't coached since getting fired under very strange circumstances. And... how else would the Lane Kiffin era end?
Yeah.
I mean, after 3 years of, he's matured and he's ready, all of a sudden you have another bizarre exit right up there with Tennessee fans rioting. And
I think it's
and Al Davis on those overhead projector things. And
the bus.
USC at an airport. It's just... Yeah.
It's nuts. Though I have to say, as much as obvious, you saw when Kiffin talked, it's clear there was some sort of personal thing going on between them one way or the other. But... it's also worth noting that for those people, the criticism of Kiffin as offensive coordinator has often been he gets a little bit too cute. He likes to do a lot of things other than just, like, use his talent and ram through guys. I feel like you actually kind of saw that in the Alabama-Washington game a little bit. Do you agree? Do you think that, like, maybe that may have been the last straw for Saban, where he's just like, I want, like, Sark is just going to run it up the gut on these guys, and we're going to use our physical superiority to stop that. And Kiffin likes to be cute. He likes to be cute with his play calling. He likes to show that he's smart. And it would seem to me that maybe Saban, in addition to the personal stuff, was finally like, yeah, we're just not doing this anymore.
Yeah, I think it was all of it. I mean, you know, Kiffin, as an assistant, didn't talk to the media except, like, twice a year, because that's what Alabama does. And then he's starting to give Florida Atlantic interviews. He went house shopping with Pete Thamel of Sports Illustrated. It's a great piece. He gave some pretty outspoken quotes. Yeah. And then he gave pretty outspoken quotes at Peach Bowl Media Day last week. So I'm sure you add that up. You add that with a pretty disjointed offensive performance that was saved by Bo Scarborough, who was fourth on the team in rushing all year and then rushes for 180 yards, had two big runs, and Cam Robinson, their All-American tackle, said today that basically we didn't even block well for that. It was just Scarborough running over people, and that's what the offense was. And they threw 14 passes, I think, and it still felt like too many. Like in the first half, everybody's just like, give the ball to Scarborough. He's running over everybody. And so you added up all of that stuff with Kiffin. And of course, this is Alabama, though, and they have a two-time head coach and offensive coordinator of USC at its prime to fill in. So it's like Alabama is a five-star recruit to fill in everywhere. Sark is a good coach who has a lot of experience. So it's a weird situation, but you couldn't ask for somebody else better to step into the situation. And he wouldn't have done it if he didn't have somebody like Sark.
Right. Like, this is not some guy off the street. This
He was the head coach of USC in Washington.
Right. And was not bad.
He talked about today, he's not coached with Kiffin in 10 years, but they coached together. They called plays together. Right. They were co-coordinators together.
So clearly.
So there's familiar, you know, this is a different system. They're running a different offense than Kiffin did at USC, but there's still familiarity with terminology and just everything. And Sark's been around the program all year where if this can possibly go smoothly, this is the situation where it will go smoothly, because it's Alabama. You don't think Nick Saban's going to screw it up, do you?
I mean,
his track record's pretty good.
I think he's got some success there. Of course, they're going for their fifth championship in 8 years, which is nuts. And I think the first team that they got a chance to be the first team to be 15-0. I think that's the other.
Nobody has gone 15-0 since Pennsylvania in 1897.
Okay, nobody has won
five championships in eight years since Bernie Bierman at Minnesota in the 30s and maybe into the early 40s.
I assume in 1890 those 15 games were played over the stretch of like 4 days, and
probably and they were all like 85-0.
Yes, exactly.
And some of them were probably against high schools.
Yes, right, and so. Obviously, we did a good piece on Sports and Earth about how kind of like great rematches and so on. It's weird because this is obviously a rematch of the game that we were at both at last year, but it feels like different teams. Like obviously, there's still a lot of the same guys there. Watson's there, some defensive guys there, but it's funny. Like there's a little bit of the difference of Alabama has not lost since then, as they basically dominated everybody. Also, Watson didn't have the big Heisman. He was obviously good. They were in the national championship game, but he didn't have the big, awesome Heisman year that a lot of people were expecting. He had a little bit more interceptions. But does this still, like, is this rematch? What are the major differences we should see in this game as opposed to last year's game? I want to talk about last year's game in a second. But, like, just the way that these teams are going to go at each other, is it going to look the same? Or is it the same kind of matchups? Or what are the major differences between each team than from last year?
I don't think it's going to be as high scoring. It ended up 45-40 last year, and part of that was the onside kick, and Alabama returned the kick for a touchdown. But I think it will be a little bit lower scoring. Even though Clemson lost like 7 or 8 starters from their defense, they've been reloading like Alabama, and their defensive line's amazing. Dexter Lawrence, like a 340-pound five-star true freshman defensive tackle, is fourth on the team in tackles. They have all these; they're especially strong up front. And Alabama, you know, their offense is totally different. In week one, Lane Kiffin was calling plays for Blake Barnett, and Damian Harris was the leading rusher. Now we're talking about Sark calling plays for Jalen Hurts and Bo Scarborough. Alabama hasn't lost, and their offense looks different in that they have a running quarterback, which is very new for Saban. And
a true freshman.
A true freshman, yeah. It's just unheard of. And he'll have a big challenge against that Clemson defense. But the big difference then for Clemson, you know, it's Deshaun Watson's back. They still have a great receiving core. But if you remember back to that game, Mike Williams, who's probably going to be a first-round pick at wide receiver, was hurt all last year with a neck injury. And Deion Kane, their best deep threat, who averages like 18 yards per catch, did not play in the playoff last year because he was suspended. So Deshaun Watson threw for 400 yards against Alabama last year, one of the best performances ever against the Saban defense. He did it without his best overall receiver and his best deep threat. And he did it with Hunter Renfrow, you know, the walk-on slot receiver who burned Minkah Fitzpatrick, a five-star recruit, a couple times.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So Renfro's still here, and Artavis Scott's still here, and Ray McLeod's still here. And now you have Mike Williams, who legitimately could be a top-10 pick. You have Deion Kane, who's their best field stretcher. Clemson hasn't run the ball as well this year, and they're not going to run up the middle. Nobody runs up the middle against Alabama. They give up 65 rushing yards per game. But, you know, you're going to see Watson, who didn't run as much during the regular season. All bets are off now. They're going to run him. They're going to do everything they need to do.
This is the all-in game.
Exactly. Yeah. When you can run the quarterback and have deep threats and have a bunch of guys who can catch short passes and have one of the best tight ends in the country, they are more equipped than anybody to attack Alabama. I just don't know if it's going to be as successful as last year, because how do you duplicate 40 points at 400 yards? And they still lost.
Yeah, and it's funny, they lost. You know, one of the things that's been kind of amazing about Alabama this year, with all, obviously they have all this talent, but they also like make those weird big plays. They get the kickoff returns. They make, to me, this, and there was a stretch in that Washington game where you're like, yeah, I don't know, maybe Washington's got something here. And then that one play changes it all over. And then Alabama, as Spencer Hall famously put it, holds you up in the air unless you kick your legs until you die. And that's what they do. Yeah. And even last year, where Clemson felt like everything kind of went Clemson's way, they really showed they could compete with them, and you're right, they still lost because of that. I'm curious, though, the thing that makes – it's funny because you've seen a kind of a switch. My friend Matt is a diehard Alabama fan. He's very much enjoying the sudden turn toward Clemson in the general consensus. You're right. Seeing a little bit of that. And I feel like a lot of that is because of what they did against Ohio State. That was truly impressive. Listen, Clemson, like, they lost to Pittsburgh, but like they obviously they're here, they made it this far. But it always felt like for most of the year, including that Pittsburgh loss, but even in some other games, it felt like Clemson was almost biding its time a little bit. And like they were still, you hear them talk all the time about how they had pictures about this game on their wall all year, and they were focused just on this game getting back here. And what did they do in the Ohio State game that they weren't doing the rest of the year? Did they just focus in that way and coming together? Was the defense in particular has not looked that great particularly great all year? Is that Ohio State having problems, or was that Clemson really stepping it up?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, Clemson, yeah, during the regular season, they looked like, you know, they were the team with, they didn't win the championship last year, but they had really high expectations, the highest ever for Clemson, and they were ranked number two. And it was like Ohio State last year, where everybody was back, and then they just weren't clicking.
Right.
And they still won all but one game, but they didn't look right. And Florida State 2 years ago, they won the championship, had Jameis Winston back. They just didn't look right, and they won every game, but a lot of close games, and they got blown out in the Rose Bowl. Clemson went the other way. They kind of struggled to find their rhythm all year and find a groove. And Watson, it seemed like maybe the pressure was getting to them. They couldn't run the ball well. They struggled with deep ball accuracy earlier in the year. But, you know, since that Pitt loss, I think things have clicked, and Watson's running a little bit more, and they got the deep passing game going a little bit better. The defense is just phenomenal. I mean, the defensive line is as good as Alabama's.
That's all right.
So, you know, they've kind of turned it on at the right moment, and it was a good matchup against Ohio State, who just can't pass downfield, bizarrely. But I think they are peaking at the right time, but I think people might get a little too overconfident based on what happened last week. Mostly, I just don't want to pick against Alabama anymore.
They never lose. I'm curious about that, though, because, you know, I mean, this is – it does seem that, you know, obviously Alabama has has a lot of playmakers, but they don't have a quarterback that throws it real well downfield, which is one of the reasons, like you just said, that Ohio State really couldn't quite get it going. Can Alabama run consistently on Clemson? And if they can't, does that require then Jalen Hurts to like do more than they would like to have him do?
Yeah, that's a big question, because Clemson was better against the pass than the run most of the year, and then Ohio State, who was much better running the ball than throwing, couldn't run either. I mean, they had nothing until a garbage time 60-yard run by Curtis Samuel. But Alabama does have a better offensive line than Clemson. I mean, they're starting a true freshman at right tackle, Jonah Williams, but he's played like an All-American because it's Alabama.
Right.
And, you know, Cam Robinson, and, you know, they lost some key players, but they're still really good up front. So they're one of the best running teams in the country. They have multiple ways to attack you. Damian Harris, who was above Scarborough in the pecking order all year, averages 7 yards per carry. Jalen Hurts has rushed for 850 yards, which is far more than any other quarterback has ever rushed for under Saban. He just doesn't usually run the quarterback. So they have a lot of options. Now they have Scarborough, who looks like Derrick Henry. He's 6'2", 240 pounds, and just he should be playing linebacker.
And he's their fourth leading rusher this year.
And that's just annoying. All right, well, now it's the playoffs, so now we can get this five-star. He's probably going to be a top five pick.
Right.
Like, it's just they have so many options to beat you. And if Clemson can take that away, though, Hurts had a great year. He's the SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a true freshman, but passing's been inconsistent. Calvin Ridley, the star receiver, only averages 10 yards per catch, but they have O.J. Howard, the tight end, who's been kind of used sparingly, it seemed, most of his career, had 200 yards against Clemson last year, because here's a five-star recruit that we don't throw to a lot, but if we need him to, he will kill you. He'll destroy you. That's Alabama's whole team. So there's always another option, another way to attack, and then it's just the added wild card this week of there's a new offensive coordinator in the middle of this.
And we've talked a lot about the offense, but of course there are people saying this is one of the best defenses of all time. You've written tons about college football history, and you've written a great piece about a series of pieces about all the greatest college football teams of all time. Is this one of the best? Do you think, from having looked through all that, do you actually think this is one of the best defenses of all time?
Yeah, I think it has been. I mean, the SEC has been down this year, and the quarterback play has been pretty bad in the SEC, so there are those caveats.
It was funny when there was that stretch where there was Murray and Hackenberg, and like everybody was there, and then they just all left at the same time.
Yeah, so it was basically Chad Kelly when Ole Miss was like still good in September, and he had a good game against them, but that's it. And Sam Darnold wasn't starting for USC yet in that opener, so they haven't seen a lot of great quarterbacks. I think Jake Browning last week, but they haven't seen somebody like Watson again, who can run and is as good a quarterback as any in the country. And but go back to last year, they lost a couple big players, but Jonathan Allen came back for senior year and was arguably the best player in the country. Reuben Foster, the linebacker, came back and got lighter and faster. He's 228 pounds, was 240 last year. Tim Williams, Brian Anderson, outside linebackers, pass rushers, they came back for the senior season. Eddie Jackson, who's hurt, he came back for senior season. But All-American safety, he gets hurt in the Texas A&M game, so they lose this 2-year starter, 5-star.
Right. For any other team.
They know what happened the next four games. They didn't allow a touchdown.
Right.
Because they just moved over Minkah Fitzpatrick to safety, and then they have another 5-star to come in at slot corner, and they're fine. So I think this is maybe the fastest Alabama defense we've seen. They've gotten lighter. They've gotten more adept at defending the spread, and they rack up more sacks than they used to, and they're just a nightmare, and they're still as physical as ever against the run, though. So it's just so hard to beat them. But Watson's done it, and he's the best quarterback they've seen. So if anybody has a chance, you'd think it would be Clemson.
Why did Watson have so many turnovers this year? Was he different? Was he trying too hard? Or was it really just almost like an NBA regular season where they're like, just do enough to make sure that you get in the playoffs, try out some things, but be ready for this? Which, again, to see the way they play against Ohio State, there's almost some evidence to that idea. But is Watson a different player than he was last year, or was it just kind of a fluke thing?
There was definitely some inaccuracy issues. I think he was a little bit streaky and had some field vision problems, especially throwing downfield in the first half of the year. They really didn't have any downfield passing game, and that's gotten going. Now they're fine. So I think that was definitely part. But it's kind of like I mentioned Florida State earlier. Winston threw like 60 interceptions the year after he won the Heisman. So he's been kind of more streaky than you'd think. And obviously that's big, though, going into a game like this, because you mentioned Alabama scores on defense like every game. They have 11 defensive touchdowns this year. It's insane. You're surprised when they don't score on defense. So if anybody can make you pay for that, it's Alabama. So you can't, it's cliche to say have to win the turnover battle, but if ever it's true, you cannot beat yourself against a team like Alabama. So we'll see. I mean, Watson threw a couple picks against Ohio State. It didn't matter because Ohio State was hopeless. Yeah. But it's not going to be like that this week.
Yeah, it's funny too, because like Alabama, what's the thing? Alabama's opponents have actually scored first in the last four games, and the final score has been like 179-38.
Florida like put together a great job. It's like, oh my god,
here we go. And the same thing happened.
Alabama had negative yards in the first quarter against Florida and led 16-7,
right?
Because they had a blocked punt or something,
So I guess that's kind of the thing with them is, just putting this all, we've talked about the kind of the historical perspective of what Alabama is trying to do. And obviously if Clemson won, it would be their breakthrough moment. I wrote in a piece on Friday. I'm curious if I missed any teams. I was trying to think of the three like major college football fan bases that are most desperate for a title that have gone. I argued Clemson, Georgia, and Notre Dame would be, maybe Penn State if you're,
Penn State's giving up there for sure.
But like once
those were definitely, I read it. It was a good piece. And those were probably ones that stick out the most in terms of teams
like,
that have won championships.
Right. Teams that are among the powerhouses of college football,
right,
but have not won a championship in a particular
Clemson was a team that Florida State joined the ACC in 1991. Clemson didn't win the ACC after that until 2011.
Yeah.
So it was a team that was just had this reputation for choking all the time in 20 years.
Clemsoning.
Dabo Sweeney, who was looked down upon when he got hired. Who's this guy? He's a wide receivers coach, never been a coordinator. Promoted from a on the staff of a coach who got fired.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he unlocked the potential of the program and hired great assistants. Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator, has done just a phenomenal job. 5 years ago, Clemson gave up 70 points in the Orange Bowl to West Virginia, and they hired Venables, and now they've been one of the best defenses in the country consistently. So they recruit really well. Dabo delegates really well. He's kind of just – he's the perfect fit for that program, and you know, they kind of won a surprise national championship in 1981. And now, though, this is the year. They've never been ranked this high in the preseason, and now you know, it didn't look like they were going to live up to expectations, but here they are, and – yeah, it would mean as much to Clemson as anybody winning the championship.
And it's funny, too, because, it's weird to preview a national championship game by talking about next year. But obviously, Alabama's going to be right back where they always are next year. Is Clemson, or are they losing
Probably losing too much on offense. Their defense will still be, you know, they keep reloading. They're going to have a lot of talent back on defense. They've recruited really well, but you'd expect Florida State will be the favorite at the ACC next year. And
so this is Clemson's
Lamar Jackson back next year. So this is, you know, they recruited Watson as this is the guy who's going to take us to the next level.
Right.
They recruited him early. He committed very early.
Yes.
They were like, this is, you know, we're good. They, you know,
Taj
Boyd and they had Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins. They had
lots of very frustrated Georgia people because, of course, he's from Georgia to this day that they got in on him so early.
When you have the combination of the defensive line talent they have now with the best player in program history, Deshaun Watson.
This is the show.
This is, you know, and it's the second time in a row you're here.
Right.
This is your best shot. And they're not going to go away. They're recruiting really, really well.
But
you want to get it done this time. Yeah. And you've seen Watson torment Alabama like only Johnny Manziel and Ezekiel Elliott have done in the past 9 years.
So that brings us to Alabama and what they're trying to do, which is basically – I mean, this
world
is
domination.
It would feel. It's funny when I wrote that piece. It was funny to go back and look at like the 2009 season that they won the championship and how it had been like 17 years and they were just like losing their mind. They're like Alabama, and there's this awesome speech at the end of the video that I put up there where Saban's like, "I know everybody's excited and I know everybody's really into this. Of course, you should be excited. This was great, but this is just the beginning of what we're trying to do here. This is just the first step of what we're trying to do." This would feel, if they were to win this game, not that Alabama's going to be bad in the future to any stretch of the imagination, but this would almost feel like the culmination. Like this would be two titles in a row. This would be an undefeated season taking on all comers. It's not like they've snuck into this. They've dominated everybody they've played all year. There's been no close games. They've done all this with the level of difficulty pretty high with a true freshman quarterback, with all of this issues with the offensive coordinators and Kiffin and so on, losing their defensive coordinator, not to nothing, but they lost their defensive coordinator heading into this year. That messes up a lot of teams.
They lost the defensive line coach.
They've lost all of this stuff. And for them to have this season and to dominate in this way and then to come into the national championship game and win, whether they dominate or not, I just don't – I'm curious, can a program actually – do better than that? Like this, it would feel like the culmination of everything that Saban's done, and really something that it's almost impossible to imagine topping.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you don't. Saban obviously has nothing left to prove, but then this year, you know, it's a new offensive system, and it's a new. It's just like every possible challenge you could face. Now I've won it with a true freshman quarterback. Now he's going to go 15-0 if they win. They haven't actually gone undefeated in a championship season since 2009, so now we'll be going undefeated after winning the championship the year before. It would be the second time they won back-to-back titles. It would be two in a row over the same team with an all-time great quarterback.
That's specifically geared up to defeat you.
Right. So, and they've kind of, you know, for a couple years, everybody, the big story was, oh my God, the spread offenses in the SEC, Nick Saban's doomed. And then every time they lost to Ole Miss or Texas A&M, it's, is this the end of the dynasty?
Right.
And then they get lighter and faster on defense and adjust. You know, I wrote after last year's championship game, you know, people see Saban as this old school guy, but he did exactly what Les Miles didn't. He adjusted everything. He adapts. He would prefer to go back and play old power football, but he much prefer
he prefers
to win.
Winning. Right.
So he's flexible and smart and always looking for the next edge. And I don't know when he's going to like slow down and not keep going at 150 miles an hour like he does now, but it's just he keeps adapting, keeps winning, keeps recruiting the best players, keeps developing them, keeps avoiding complacency, which is a big challenge in a place like Alabama. And it's I don't know when it's going to end, but like you're right, I mean, what else is there to achieve after if this team wins a championship?
And it is funny because, you know, what it's amusing because remember it was just after that Mississippi loss last year, which again was a weird flukish kind of loss.
Five turnovers, yeah. Or whatever, and lost by six or
yeah. There was like a 5.5 hour game, yeah. And it started late, and it was just nuts. And of course, that's the last game they lost. Shortly after that, was the last time they weren't favored when they played at Georgia, They were not favored in that game, which now seems pretty hilarious. And of course they destroyed Georgia, and the Georgia program, frankly, has not been the same. Like, that started Georgia down its track of everything that it was doing. And it does feel like the last time they lost a game, it's like, I feel like if Alabama were to lose this game, we're all going to be like, Saban again. Like, are things changing? Like, it's very kind of fun. When they lost that Mississippi game, again, in flukish fashion, there was. We all saw it. Is this the end of Alabama? Are they not able to do this anymore? And not only have they not lost since then, they have destroyed everybody they played, except, I guess, for the national championship game last year, which they won. Again, talk about adapting in by running a trick play and, like, doing all of kind of these tricky things. If they win, like... It almost feels like they'll have solved it.
Solved football.
Yeah, like he solved it if they won this game. So I guess it's probably time to make a prediction. Because I talked earlier about how Clemson is a hot pick. They are definitely a hot pick right now. I think what they did against Ohio State, and I think combined with what Clemson did against Ohio State, to the kind of the chaos that's going on with Alabama, and chaos in Saban's term, but certainly any team that lost its offensive coordinator between the semifinal game and the final game.
Saban does not like drama in such a big situation.
We would certainly imagine. We would certainly imagine that would be we would be concerned about any other program. That concern is warranted. But even I think that those are two things that are contributing to that. Do you still think Alabama's going to win this game?
Yeah.
Right.
I picked Clemson last year. By like 1 point or something. I picked Alabama to not go to the playoff this year in the preseason because I was on the LSU bench.
Yeah, I was too.
And
they were at Alabama was at LSU.
Losing four games, they totally underachieved. They're really good. But anyway, that's beside the point. The point is, I'm not picking against Alabama. Right. Like, it's just dumb. They're probably going to win. They might lose. I'm not saying Clemson has no chance because Clemson is, again, they're as equipped as anybody to beat Alabama. And they proved against Ohio State they deserve to be here. They're one of the two best teams. Right. And Watson's a great quarterback. And when you have a true freshman quarterback against a great defensive line and a great pass defense, Clemson has a great chance to win this game. But I just, I know. I'm going to pick Alabama now. I'm going to pick Alabama in August. And if I don't, like, please everybody yell at me.
Because
I just think their defense will make Clemson one-dimensional. I think they're going to be more prepared for Watson's scrambling and things like that. And I think they probably end up scoring a touchdown
in a weird way. Yeah. And
so I think it'll be lower scoring than last year. And I think Alabama will control the tempo more than they did last year, too.
Man, if they win this game in one of those Spencer Hall games where they just, like, it's like 28-10 or something, and they just kind of, anyone that doesn't pick Alabama at the beginning of next year is just doing it to be stupid. Because
they're going to lose plenty on defense, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I
was talking with people today. Like, Deshaun Hand was the number one recruit in the country 2 years ago. He barely plays defense. He's like, oh, well, if somebody gets hurt, then I'll come in.
Yeah, then they'll
and that's just their whole roster.
Right.
And they've signed the number one recruiting class 6 years in a row.
Yeah, beat that. Right.
And then, you know, guess who's coming back next year? Jalen Hurts, Damian Harris, Scarborough, and Calvin Ridley.
Right. Everybody. On offense, so and they'll have then they will have an offensive coordinator they've actually been working with all year, so there'd be that. So yeah, I'm exactly with you. I feel like going against it, Clemson is way too hip of a pick right now. Like, it's just too hip.
I agree. I have it like Alabama 27, Clemson 21, or something.
Yeah,
around there.
Yeah, I'm not. To me, this feels like a 24-13.
I can see that
type
too.
Of thing.
You can always see that with Alabama. Yeah, one of those games.
So. All right, so last thing I want to ask you, I've not had a chance to talk to you about that this year. Talk to me about what Penn State did this year. Talk to me what it was like being there. You live there. Tell me what it was like to be there. The switch that this team pulled, and at the beginning of the year, it was like, is Franklin the guy? What's happening? Is it just the Fordham dude? Like, what happened with Penn State this year to make this happen?
It's still like mind blowing. I mean, October 1st, they had just lost by 39 to Michigan with all their defense hurt, and they just looked totally outmatched, which they were. And 2 weeks before, they lost to Pitt, and they had a chance to come back. They didn't do it. And then October 1st, they're down 13-3 at halftime to Minnesota. It's like, this season is just going to be horrible. It looks like last year again. And then they win that game, and then they didn't lose again to the Rose Bowl. It's just like,
and they scored like crazy. Right. Like, that's the thing. It's one thing that they won a bunch of games.
They became entertaining.
Right. Like, it just like switched.
Penn State hadn't been entertaining since like 1994.
Is that the new offensive coordinator? Like, is that what made that happen?
Yeah, combination of things. They've recruited well. They have good skill position talent. Saquon Barkley's fantastic at running back, and they have really good receivers, and their offensive line had more depth. They still got hurt, but they were better. And they had a running quarterback, and Trace McSorley just became this confident, if I throw it downfield to any of these 6'3" receivers, they're going to catch it. And like, you know, the Wisconsin game, Wisconsin hadn't given up more than 2 touchdowns in regulation this year to anybody. And Penn State scored 5 touchdowns in like 16 minutes. And it was just bizarre to watch. I went to the Ohio State-Penn State game thinking, oh, well, I'll just go right about Ohio State's next victim in replacing 16 starters and going to the playoff probably. Yeah. That's what happened. But they lost that game. And it was like the most surreal. They were up 14 in the fourth quarter, and Penn State was kind of
It was a weird play. It was.
But still, they were in that game, and their defense, though, dominated JT Barrett and the Ohio State offense.
It was funny because that win felt like a little bit of a fluke, and then they just floored it the rest of the way.
They killed Iowa, and then the next week Iowa beats Michigan. Right. It was weird. And then, you know, they beat Wisconsin, and bizarre year. And, yeah, Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator, did a great job, and it's just they're deeper, and now all of a sudden it's like they found confidence, and they've recruited fairly well.
I mean, they're probably a top 10 preseason team.
Definitely. Yeah. They lose 2 starters on offense now because Chris Godwin, the best receiver, is going to the draft. And they lose one, their center.
Right.
But they get 2 guys back from injury in the offensive line. They're deep at receiver. Saquon Barkley, the Big Ten offensive player, years back. Trace McSorley's back after averaging 9.5 yards per pass attempt or whatever. And their defense is pretty solid. So beyond giving up 52 points to USC.
Right. Well, yeah. Well.
But
they scored 49 on
I think
USC.
Ohio State will be favored to win the Big Ten next year. Penn State's probably going to be ahead of Michigan. Michigan loses like 18 starters.
Wow. All right. Well, that must have been a cool thing to see this year, because it really felt like in October it felt like, is Franklin gonna make it? Like, what's gonna happen?
It seemed insane, but everybody was just everybody fell in love with Bill O'Brien because he was this direct, blunt, honest guy who kept the program.
Right.
And everybody really liked him. And he leaves, and then Franklin comes in and was overconfident at the beginning. Looked like a salesman, and it was new for Penn State, and there was some backlash among fans, and then he didn't deliver the results. And now everybody's happy.
Yeah, right. It's funny about how wins will work. Right, right. All right, Matt. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm excited to be there. I'm assuming I'll be sitting next to you at the game when we actually get there. So I look forward, as always, to being there for that. And next year when we do this, we could do this from my house because the championship game is in Atlanta next year. And if you need a place to stay, I'll make my children sleep on the floor so you can you can have.
I look forward to watching Alabama win next year.
Yeah, exactly. Watching Alabama beat.
I wonder who will face Alabama.
Yeah, who will go?
Alabama opens the year with Florida State, which two teams literally could be the number one two teams in the country, and they play each other the first week.
Is that a Jerry World game, or
that's in Atlanta?
Is it Atlanta?
Jerry World is Michigan, Florida.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Those are both fun games. All right. Well, then. Well, that'll be fun. But mostly, thanks for all for killing this year. And as always, you know this stuff better than anybody else I know. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Will.
Okay, so remind you as always to please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Give it a review. Give it a review, because the last review of the podcast is someone telling me the audio is bad, and I fixed the audio since then. So I need people to give me a nice little review so I don't cry. But anyway, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Give us a nice review. Music is by the Sundogs. We'll be back. I'll actually be back next week previewing the divisional round of the playoffs later on this week with Andrea Hanks, who is another writer for Sports North. We'll be chatting with her then. Otherwise, have a great week, everyone. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy hearing Bill Walton talk about the game on one of the 80 ESPN broadcast networks. Otherwise, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you later on this week.